What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Lakers Outsiders post-game show. I am your host, Gary Kester, here with you as always. And joining me as always is Hani Ahmadian, who I like to refer to as the, defensively, the Alex Caruso of co-hosts.
I take that as the highest compliment. I'm just a little confused about the logistics of defending on a podcast, but I'm feeling pretty good about being compared to Alex Caruso after the incredible performance he put together.
Just let it happen. Just let it happen. As you can see, I've got the Caruso shirt on tonight. I picked a good night to wear it because, man, Alex Caruso was really, really good in this game. We're going to dive into this game here in a second. But as always, guys, be sure, if you like the show, you can subscribe and follow us on twitch.tv/LakersOutsiders. You can like and follow us on Facebook as well, just facebook.com/LakersOutsiders. And you can subscribe to us up on YouTube as well. If you want, those three are for the live shows. If you want to follow along, we should be doing these after every playoff game on this run. Hopefully, we got a lot of these to do during this playoff run. But and then after the fact, of course, they'll be up on any of your podcast platforms. You want to listen on your car ride into work or at work or whatever. Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all those podcast platforms you guys use. It'll be up there tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, I guess I should say that, depending on when you're listening to this. So. Hani, the Lakers won a thriller tonight, 103-100 over Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Stressful game. But at the end of the day, the Lakers dig deep, have a big second half, find a way to get it done. Did not go kind of how we predicted it would go exactly, but the Lakers get a W. And I'm just going to throw it to you. Give me your main thoughts from watching that game tonight.
The main thought is that I would have, and I said this to you right before we jumped on here, that I would have enjoyed the hell out of that game a whole lot more if I wasn't a fan of either one of these teams. That was stressful. It was incredible. I think it's a really positive sign for the NBA keeping these playing game things around for a while. Obviously, you're not always going to get the defending champions and also a Warriors team that is probably better than their record playing in that 7-8 game, but man, that was incredible basketball. It was also awful basketball at times, but it was very much like a game 7 sort of vibe in terms of how hard everybody was playing in that second half especially. But yeah, my main takeaway is one, that the Lakers do have some issues that they really need to be working on, and it's going to be even tougher in the first round against a really quality Suns team, I think. But they managed to get it done, and it's a testament, I think, to the superstars on the team who didn't have their best game but really came alive in the second half and especially in that fourth quarter. But more than anything, I think for me, it's a testament to some of the role players on this team. And not everybody had a great game, but some guys really, really stepped it up tonight. Alex Caruso, we just talked about, I thought was, at least over the course of the full game, the best player for the Lakers tonight. He was defensively just incredible. On a night that Steph Curry had 37 points, I know it seems silly to say that he did a great job on Steph, but he genuinely did do a great job on Steph Curry. And offensively, just being in the right spots, making the right cuts, finishing at the rim, hitting a couple of big threes, making some great passing reads. It was incredible stuff. I thought KCP was also great in this game on both ends of the floor. Wesley Matthews didn't play in the first half. Frank Vogel adjusted, saw that Andrew Wiggins was really beating the Lakers in the post, brought on his
strongest guard. Shocker, Andrew Wiggins played well against the Lakers.
Yeah, we talked about him as an X factor in our preview pod, and it really was that way in the first half. Second half, Wesley Matthews did a much better job defending him because he's just a bigger, stronger guy. He can kind of manage the height difference because of that. And offensively didn't do a whole lot, but did hit a big three almost immediately after he came in. So, my main thing is looking at this game, obviously, all sorts of issues and a lot of frustration and questions about some of the coaching decisions and the superstars not playing well. But we came into this season talking a whole lot about the Lakers' depth being their biggest strength outside of having two top five NBA players. And it really showed tonight, I think. I think those guys, I didn't even mention Kyle Kuzma, who I thought had a really great game as well. Even if, you know, box score wise, it wasn't a lot of huge numbers. I thought he had a lot of huge plays. And, you know, having those sort of guys, you know, when your stars aren't playing well, when some of the other role players that are at least bigger names and expected to do better, like Andre Drummond or Dennis Schroeder, aren't playing well, those that the next group of guys really stepped up. And to me, you know, obviously LeBron James had to hit an incredible three at the end of the game to win the game, but those guys playing the way that they did was really the reason the Lakers were ever in a position to win the game, in my opinion.
Yeah. Man, that game, I said this before we went on, but that game made me want to take up smoking for the first time in my life. stressful game. And obviously we've seen a lot of games like that as Lakers fans in the playoffs. But never, you never miss the stress with it, but you always love the thrilling feeling of victory in those types of games. And credit to Golden State. I thought they came out and really punched first in the first half, jumped out to a good sized lead to start. And just when, you know, I thought, oh, okay, if the Lakers can get this, you know, within like six or seven going into half, I'll feel good about that considering how poorly they played in the first half. And then Golden State pushed it right out to 13 to end the half. And Steph hit an unreal three with Caruso guarding. Like you said, when you look, you know, and see Steph scoring 37 points, you would think, oh, nobody did a good job on it. But Caruso played some of the best defense that you could probably honestly play on Steph Curry. And I think really a testament to that is the fourth quarter. It felt like Steph had, you know, he started the fourth quarter on the bench, but he came back in very early in the fourth quarter, and it seemed like he was a little out of sync, out of rhythm, and he, you know, wasn't scoring a whole lot there to start the fourth quarter. As soon as Caruso checks out for a couple minutes, gets a breather, Dennis Schroeder starts guarding Steph Curry, and Dennis is a good defender as well, but Curry got aggressive and got comfortable and started to score consecutive baskets. And then Caruso, you know, comes back in the game, and it was night and day difference, really, with Caruso guarding him versus just about anybody else. Caruso was just, I mean, he was just fantastic on both ends of the floor in this game.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, you know, I'd have to go really rewatch it to know for a fact that this is true, but that stretch that you're talking about, Lakers go on a 6-0 run to start the fourth quarter, take the lead for the first time all game, I believe. And then Steph comes back in and he has Schroeder on him. They were running plays where he wasn't even asking for a screen. He was just ISOing Dennis Schroeder quickly because he just liked that matchup so much. The only time I remember him trying to do that against Caruso and going without that screen, he went towards the sideline. Caruso gets a hand on the ball and hits it off his foot. And it's one of the Warriors' 15 turnovers in the second half at a really crucial point in the game. So I think just the fact that Steph had that respect of, I'm not taking this guy one-on-one, I want a screen to try and get him off of me, just shows you what kind of impact that Caruso had. And again, I haven't looked at the numbers. I don't know how Steph shot when Caruso was guarding him versus when other guys were guarding him. But having watched the game live, I think it's pretty clear that Caruso did have a major impact. And without him, Steph probably goes off for even more and probably gets that win at the end of the day.
Yeah, 100%. Just looking kind of the box score here, I mean, Curry was 12 of 23. I mean, you almost kind of live with that because he can shoot so much better than that, right? I guess not live with it, but like it could have been a lot worse, I guess. He was 6 of 9 from the three-point line. It's not nice. 7 of 8 from the free throw line. 37 points. But man, Caruso was just, like I said, he was really good on both ends of the floor. He gives the Lakers 14 points. I think, you know, just his IQ offensively, he had a couple of really nice assists. He had one, I mean, to LeBron that would have been an assist, but, you know, got fouled hard by Draymond Green. Got looked like he got poked in the eye. I still thought that was a flagrant foul. And I'm not going to talk about the officiating because I was a little worried in the first half that the Lakers might get frustrated with the officiating and allow that to really impact their play for longer than it did, because it clearly did in the first half. I think that they were definitely frustrated with it. But, I mean, probably my biggest takeaway from this game is that I feel like it was the first time – I mean, obviously, it's the first time in a while we've seen this team pretty much at full strength and play in this type of intensity and really get challenged the way that they got challenged today. Because the first half, it looked like they – treated it like a regular season game, and Golden State was playing like their season was on the line, essentially. I mean, they played much harder. They executed better. We highlighted how good Golden State is defensively this year, and it showed for long stretches of this game. Lakers did get it going in the second half, and I think LeBron was kind of the spearhead behind that. He really got it going, and it wasn't even a great LeBron game, and he still had 22 points, 11 boards, 10 assists, and obviously the game-winning, crucial, unbelievable three, where he's telling Steph, I can't even see, like he's dealing with that hit that he took to the eye from Draymond Green. This was a gut check win against a team that's been red hot, against a guy that is, you could argue has a case to be MVP. He's probably not going to win it, but has been one of the top and most valuable players to his team this year and out of anybody in the league. And it was just a gut check win, man. And so many different guys had to step up. Wesley Matthews, I mean, when you look at his box score, nothing really jumps out. But the plus 17, which was a team high, That was pretty evident just watching the game. He was really good. He had some savvy veteran plays that drew a charge, drew a foul on Draymond Green late on the illegal screen that, was a little iffy. Might not have been an illegal screen, but just a gut check win, and especially with LeBron and AD. Dennis got it going a little bit there offensively in the fourth quarter. But, man, you couldn't have scripted a worse first half for the Lakers. I mean, could not hit anything from the floor. Somehow managed to score 42 points with their three best players. What were they like? They were like 3 of 26 combined at some point
I think 4 of 28 is what they finished the first half with. Yeah. And it was like, I have it down. I think it's only like 13 points total between the three of them.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, you're talking about two top five players in the league and then another very good player in Dennis Schroeder. Like I said, it couldn't have scripted a worse first half for them, and they quickly flipped the script. I mean, they got it within one. Golden State pushed it right back out to 12, I believe, and then the Lakers reeled them right back in. They were only down two going into the fourth quarter, and then it was back and forth from that point on. But I'm just proud of the way this team showed some resolve. And, Frank Vogel making adjustments, which I thought he could have done a little sooner. I didn't think this was a great matchup for Drummond. I would have liked to see Gasol get some minutes tonight, but he didn't play at all, which, I mean, is fine because the alternate to Drummond not being out there was AD at the five, which Anthony Davis played 42 minutes tonight. And if I'm not mistaken, he played the entire second half of this game. And after a very, very slow start, he made some big buckets for this team and started to get involved more on the boards and defensively in the second half.
Yeah, and I did see, I think it was Kevin Pelton tweeted this, that he played more minutes as the true center tonight than he did in all of the, I think, 9 games that he played since coming back from injury combined. So, it's obviously, we've been saying this for a while. We've been kind of clamoring because people obviously keep talking a lot about, the Lakers are at their best when Anthony Davis is at the five, but he doesn't want to play the five in the regular season. And, I think that's a fair criticism, but when it comes to winning time, we saw it all of the last playoff run, and we saw it for the most part tonight, is that, you go to AD at the five when that is the matchup that's advantageous for you, which usually it is. And the guy delivers. He had an awful game in the first half. I don't think he was really all that good defensively either, which is usually the you know, the part of his game that is pretty much always going to be good, even if the offense can sometimes come and go because of the you know, the jump shooting or the clock spacing when he's playing with Drummond. But that second half, I thought he was incredible. Defensively, he was affecting everything. He's the main reason why they can really slow down a player like Steph even. You know, Caruso, obviously the great one-on-one, but having AD be the guy defending him on those screens. And I thought, I don't know if you noticed this as well or if anybody else noticed this, but Lakers had some interesting possessions defensively where they were kind of overloading those pick and rolls and having three defenders basically there and kind of zoning up the rest of the guys. And usually it was LeBron coming in sort of at the free throw line.
Yeah.
So it was incredible team defense, but I think AD is the guy that really makes that possible. He's the only guy that can guard 1 through 5, that can run out on closeouts, draw fouls again for the second time this year on a closeout and get everybody mad because he flops on them like, you know, nobody else flops.
Nuggets fans had serious PTSD seeing that play.
And I mean, it's a foul. He obviously sells it. It is very much a flop, but it's also very much a foul. That's just kind of how the NBA goes. You kind of got to get used to it. But yeah, anyway, even offensively, again, in the second half, he kind of got things going, got some easy buckets to go, and finally a couple of jumpers to go as well. I think he had 13 points in the fourth quarter and was 5 of 6 after, you know, the awful first half that he had. So I think there are probably concerns for a lot of people about the Lakers after this game, if they envision them kind of blowing the Warriors out or having at least a more comfortable win. There are concerns. There's, you know, the offense doesn't always flow. You worry about the injury stuff with LeBron, AD, Schroeder coming back from his health and safety protocol absence. And like you said, some of Frank Vogel's decisions, I think he corrected all of them, but also coming late sometimes. So there are those kind of concerns. But I do think the positive spin on it is that they got challenged first thing right out of the game, right out of the regular season. Like you said, this is the first time in forever that they had their full cast. Obviously playing, they're still trying to figure out their playoff rotation and see what fits. Hence, Wesley Matthews not playing in the first half and then playing in the second half. Drummond really kind of exiting the rotation after his first shift in the second half. And kind of getting challenged, having guys step up, you know, the role players stepping up, getting that confidence, and then your stars kind of getting it together at the end of the game and figuring things out and figuring out what sort of situations work, what a potential closing lineup looks like. Those are all positive things. And now they get to go into a 7-game series where those adjustments that Vogel makes in between games are going to matter a whole lot more. On top of the in-game adjustments, of course, but I think it's shaping up for the Lakers to sort of build on this performance. Hopefully, I wouldn't be shocked if they drop game one like they always do, basically. But as concerned as I am about certain things, I am also feeling pretty optimistic after this one because I think they figured things out as they went along. And I think the Suns are a better team than the Warriors, but I also think that the 7-game series kind of helps the Lakers make those adjustments, have their stars probably just outplay the Suns overall, because again, those are two top 5 players in the world when they're healthy and playing at their best. While the Suns, as great as their players all are, and they have 2 all-star caliber guys, it's sort of just a different level, and I think that's ultimately what ends up mattering in the playoffs is how those type of guys play.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. I could see them losing game one, especially because, I mean, it's a thing that they did twice in the playoffs last year, 2 times out of their 4 series. But, I mean, I could see them having that mindset where they're like, they breathe a sigh of relief that, you know, okay, we got in, now it's a series. It's not a 1-game type deal. So I could see them letting up, but, I mean, maybe maybe this is the type of game that they needed that, that really gives them a jolt and gets them into playoff mode and gets them engaged and ready to go. And I really think they needed a game of this level of intensity, because Golden State was kind of coming off of a game like that, right, against Memphis, where it was a battle for the 8 seed, and to put yourself in a position where you have two chances to win one game. So I think this was really, I mean, really good, a really good gut check game and win for the Lakers, that they had to dig deep. They had to find ways against a good defensive team. I think they match up better with, I mean, I thought they match up well with Golden State. But credit to Golden State, I thought that they played harder. They played better. They executed much better, and they just played harder. They played at a better intensity in the first half there. And then looking at, you know, some of these shooting percentages, my thought process going into this game was, if the Lakers have an even average, just an average shooting game, they'll be fine. They had a far below average shooting game. I mean, they finished 40.7% overall from the field, 32% from three. Meanwhile, Golden State, I mean, 44.6% overall is not great, but they did hit 15 threes on 44% shooting there. If you would have, you know, told me going into the game that those would be the shooting numbers, I would think the Lakers were in big, big trouble, especially given the fact that the stars struggled as much as they did in the first half. But credit to these role players, man. Guys stepped up, and I mean, it's this is a product of having such a deep and talented team, is that you can have different guys step up. And another product of it is you've got, you know, some of these guys that played pretty consistently in the rotation in the regular season that didn't see the floor tonight. Guys like Markieff Morris, guys like Marc Gasol, Ben McLemore, which, I mean, McLemore, I guess, you know, I wouldn't anticipate probably gets many minutes in the playoffs, but Gasol and Morris, I would anticipate gets some minutes here and there, depending on matchups and stuff like that. So, just really proud of the team for finding a way to dig deep, and because it's one thing to come back from a double digit deficit against, especially against a team that has been playing really good basketball the last month or so. We talked about it in the series, or not series preview, but game preview. This team was 15-5 coming in. They've been playing some really good ball. Steph Curry was playing at an unreal level, and you're down 13 at the half to these guys. It's tough to overcome double-digit deficit in this type of game anyways, but doing it against a defensive team like that, where they came out and they scored 35 points in the third quarter, was just like, I tweeted it out at halftime that we were going to find out a lot about this team in the second half, and because it was gut check time, and they showed a lot of guts and a lot of heart coming back in this game and just finding a way to win, because it, you know, it wasn't one of those games where they got over the hump and finally took the lead and then ran away with it. Golden State punched right back and had a 3-point lead, 98-95, with a couple minutes to go, and you know, the Lakers go on a little 8-2 run to close out the game and just make enough plays to get it done. And a lot of different guys stepped up and did their thing. I mean, LeBron and AD still combined for 47 points, but 47 out of 103, you know, that means you need a lot of help from all the other guys, and they got enough. They got enough of it, and again, just really, really proud of this team.
Yeah, it was a little bit of, you know, we talked about it last playoffs a lot about them kind of beating teams at their own game, especially in that Rocket series of basically beating them at the small ball game. This was kind of the same thing. They were against a great, great defensive team, and the Warriors played incredible defense all night. And
Draymond Green, especially, I mean, he was
Draymond Green was special. Yeah. And he was giving Anthony Davis a whole lot of trouble, giving the Lakers a whole lot of trouble. But the Lakers basically came out and said, "Well, we're going to play just that much better defense than you guys in the third quarter," forced 20 turnovers overall, 15 in the second half, and we're rotating their asses off all of that second half. And then LeBron at the very end of the game saying, "Well, I'll outdo Steph's ridiculous threes and hit one with one eye half closed and from 35 feet away."
With Steph right in his face too.
Exactly. The look Steph gave him right after also an incredible moment. We started this off saying I would have enjoyed this game a whole lot more as a neutral. That and the other shot of I don't remember what the play was that LeBron had. I think it was like the little reverse layup after he spun baseline. And then they show Steph just kind of nodding his head and clapping on the bench. Incredible moments. It's awesome seeing like two very, very special players kind of going at it this entire game, especially late in the game, and the mutual respect they have for each other, despite their sort of rivalry because of how many times they played each other at the highest level. It was really, really fun to watch. Super enjoyable.
Yeah, Steph is just, you know, it gets under your skin a little bit seeing him like dance you know, off the court at halftime because you're, I think, I was probably more pissed off at how the Lakers had came out in that first half. But man, he's frustrating because how good he is and how damn near impossible he is to guard. And he's just a terrifying player to go up against. And, you know, we obviously grew up with Kobe being that guy on our team that other teams probably were just terrified to go up against. And especially down the stretch of games, you know, I was watching the game with my dad. We both kind of said the same thing. Like, thank God LeBron made a three, because if we were only up by two here, like, we would be sweating bullets.
I was still sweating bullets. That play right before the Warriors take the timeout, I was yelling to foul because I wanted to put him on the line so that they can't hit a three. And KCB was trying to foul, to his credit, right before they got the timeout. And then obviously there wasn't enough time coming out of it to really do that, but AD made another great play and sealed the game and didn't give Steph a chance to knock in another crazy three.
Yeah, Steve Kerr ended up in Frank Vogel's lap essentially to call that timeout. I was like, what is he doing all the way over there? AD on that last play, man, I watching the replay of it, they left Wiggins all by himself over in the corner, which I was like, you know, you kind of, you pick the lesser of two evils, I guess, right? Like Wiggins, for some reason, shoots extremely well. And we talked about it in the game preview that, you know, gave him his credit. Like Wiggins has been a good player this year. You know, don't want to sell him short. He just elevates his game every time he plays the Lakers. But the Lakers did leave him all by himself in that corner so they could put two guys on Steph Curry. And that is a tough pass to make. Over, you know, all those defenders and everything. Maybe that was their thinking on that. But AD and Caruso did a great job kind of, you know, as a tandem guarding Steph Curry, not only on that last play, but just in the second half in general, because with AD at the playing the five for the majority of the second half, you know, a lot of that was him coming out and, you know, guarding Steph as a ball handler 30 feet from the basket and trying to be disruptive in that sense. And it just goes to show, man, this team hits another level when AD goes to the five. And I don't mean to harp on Drummond at all, because I think Drummond is fine. I think it's the same thing with Marc Gasol as it is with Drummond. They're two totally different players that they're going to be matchup dependent on whether they play or not. At least that's how I think it should be. And I think there are certain matchups Drummond could really be very impactful, and there's some that I think you need to have Gasol out there. And pretty much every matchup, I think you need to have AD at the five for considerable minutes. And this was obviously one of those. But I just noticed a stark difference in the spacing and just the rhythm offensively when Drummond finally came out of the game for good in the third quarter. Because I think it was the last possession before Drummond subbed out. AD, I don't think, got within 25 feet of the basket. Like, just stood on the three-point line and really wasn't engaged in the play at all or anything like that. And that's just because Drummond can't really extend far out unless you're just using him as a high screen and roll guy. And if he's diving right down into AD, who's around the basket as well. Just as soon as Drummond came out, and like I said, I don't mean to label Drummond as like a scapegoat or anything. It's just a nature of how good Anthony Davis is at the five and how the pieces all fit better when AD plays at that spot. The spacing was just so much better. You know, Wesley Matthews comes in, gives some great minutes. You know, some guys hit some big shots. The offense just gets going a little bit more. And like I said, scored 35 points in that third quarter. So AD, it's, you know, now it's officially playoff time, I guess, since the play-in games are just like, almost, they just have their own classification, but the stats don't matter. or the stats don't count, I guess. So, yeah. Now it's time we see a lot more AD at the five because it is winning time, and we saw that in the last year's playoffs. So I would anticipate we see that as well down the stretch here, and it's just a huge sigh of relief to get to actual playoff basketball where the Lakers have a full series to try and figure out a team as opposed to just having the one game.
Yeah, and I think I understand it fully, but I do think people get a little too caught up in that situation with AD at the five, just kind of complaining about him not wanting to play there or Vogel not playing him enough there. I get it. It is by far his best position, and Lakers are by far better when he's playing at the five rather than literally any of the other options that they have in that position. I also think we got to be sort of reasonable and understand that that's not going to happen for 48 minutes a night. It's going to happen for very, very long stretches. That I think the further we go into the playoffs, but you know, even going back to the Warriors teams that were, at the top of the league and they were dominating everybody, it's not like they were playing that death lineup with Draymond at the five every minute that he was on the court. I think you in the playoffs you kind of pick and choose certain stretches to go with your best lineups and other stretches where you're just kind of trying to hang on and give yourself a chance, just because you know you're playing those guys the entire time. People are going to adjust to you, and it's just not gonna work for long stretches. Plus the factor of wanting to keep AD fresh and healthy and kind of making sure that he's not having to bang against bigger guys the entire game. So, I think from that perspective, Vogel is handling it fine. Yes, I would like to see fewer minutes for Drummond. Yes, I would like to see Marc Gasol get some minutes, although I wasn't crazy about him in this matchup anyway. I saw a lot of people clamoring for that on Twitter today. I get it. Again, the offense wasn't very good. He probably would have helped in that situation. So I wasn't totally against it, but defensively, I don't think it was a great matchup for him. But yeah, I think healthy criticism aside, obviously that's fine, and it's part of rooting for a sports team or covering a sports team. And Frank Vogel was not above that. And the Lakers are not above that, but I think we also there's a level of giving a benefit of the doubt of these guys kind of know what they're doing. They know what situations that lineup and having AD in that position makes sense and which ones it doesn't. And again, I anticipate that AD will get more minutes at the five as the playoffs go on, because I don't think Drummond is going to be performing at a high enough level for them to sacrifice those minutes, but I'm not too crazy upset about him not playing 35 minutes there tonight or whatever it might be.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's like you said, it's not practical to say, all right, AD, you're playing all your minutes at the five tonight. Like it's we've said it a couple times now. It's always going to be matchup based, and Phoenix is going to be a different matchup than what we saw tonight. And we'll talk about that Phoenix series here in a couple days. The Lakers do get a couple days off. I believe they play Sunday, so they'll get Thursday, Friday, and Saturday off before they head to Phoenix for Game 1 of that series. And yeah, so we'll be covering that probably on Saturday. We'll be doing a series preview pod for that. I guess to wrap this thing up, unless Hani, you got anything else, we can do some viewer comments and questions that we've seen. Let's see. The first one, Hani and I talked about this from Adam Dave Jamie Beef. Lakers were playing sexy out there. Second half was a little more sexy. First half was not sexy at all. I'll take a 61-45 half. We can give that a little bit of sexiness.
Yeah, there was a glow up that happened at halftime, and apparently, I guess we should mention talk about this a little bit. I believe LeBron was the one who said it, that Markieff Morris and Jared Dudley were the guys at halftime, kind of laying into the team and telling them to get their shit together. I tweeted pretty much right before halftime that somebody needs to do that specifically towards LeBron and AD, because I was pretty disappointed in how they came out in the first half. Not only just because they weren't playing well, but because there was a lot of complaining about not getting foul calls and not getting back on defense. And for a game of this caliber, doing that was irking me. So I'm glad that, you know, that it probably gets a little overstated at this point of you know, Jared Dudley's role on this team, because he's obviously not a guy that's going to play on play in big situations very often. But having that sort of veteran that is basically a coach at this point, maybe you can have your complaints about him taking up a roster spot or whatever, but having that sort of player that can reach out to these guys as a fellow player and tell them, hey, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, is pretty crucial. And Markieff is another guy like that. They're not really afraid of speaking out and criticizing their star teammates. And I think sometimes those guys need that sort of thing. So credit to those guys for kind of helping the Lakers, you know, just get their shit together, even if they weren't the ones out there on the court making it happen.
Oh, that stuff absolutely matters, to have a voice like that in the locker room. I think if not every championship team, most of them have a player like that, a voice like that in the locker room. And sometimes it's your star player. Sometimes it's a guy that doesn't play a whole lot, that's just been around and played a lot of basketball. And, you know, that's why fans know and appreciate Jared Dudley and his role on this team, because he understands his role on this team. And, you know, you need a guy that's going to step up and do things like that. And, you know, his role obviously is not a vast one on the court, but, you know, his a leader like that, their words carry a lot of weight. So, you know, shout out to Jared Dudley, man. His role should not be overlooked with this team. Let's see. Another one from Adam Dave. LeBron's jump shot was wet tonight. No. It looked pretty good. I mean, especially there at the end for a guy that, you know, said he was seeing three baskets.
Yeah. LeBron does love a good story. it definitely looked a whole lot better in the second half. First half, it was not very good. I loved the ESPN guys as much as they irked me, but it was really funny that they kept talking about that spin move and step back jumper that Andrew Wiggins hit on LeBron. And they're like, oh man, LeBron took that as disrespect. And everything apparently just clicked into place because of that one jumper. He's like, all right, if Andrew Wiggins is hitting spin move, step back jumpers on me, I'm not letting this fly. And I mean, if that's true, then hats off. First you trade the guy as soon as you go back to Cleveland, and then you take one mid shot as a form of disrespect.
It's no Dylan Brooks level of pettiness from LeBron, but it's it seemed to wake him up a little bit. So
maybe that's the reason he hit that last three. It was like, oh man, I can't see that effing Dylan Brooks again. I gotta finish this out right here.
Let's see. Ryan Sandoval on YouTube says that LeBron three. Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody's going to be talking about. Just an unreal shot to hit that. KCP really had two options there in a tough spot. It was either Wes Matthews in the corner or get it out to LeBron for a desperation heave, basically. And luckily he made the right decision, and LeBron does what LeBron does, and he comes through and hits an unbelievable shot. So, let's see. Nagarf1 on Twitch says, let's never do this type of game again. Something we both agree on. I probably lost a year or two off my life just from that game, which is crazy because it's not a win or go home game. But, man, it kind of felt like it.
It definitely did feel like it. That was more intense than most of the playoff games the Lakers played in last year.
Yeah, that was... definitely, I mean, it's not considered the playoffs. It was 100% like a playoff game. So,
Also, just loved hearing the crowd, especially after that LeBron 3. Staples Center, I think, moved to 6,000 people in the stands today. Awesome stuff, dude. I missed hearing that stuff so much. It just adds so much to the basketball game, hearing the crowd go crazy on a shot like that. Yeah. Awesome. Give me chills.
Absolutely. I'm ready to get that stadium filled up again. I'm sure it'll, you know, be sometime next season. But like you said, it was great to see fans in the stands and hear them. And, you know, maybe they helped give the Lakers a little boost there in the second half. So gave them a little extra juice. So Adam Dave says 80s jumper was not wet. Yes. It was there to end the game. It seemed like once he got one to finally go, it started to kind of fall into place a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy's not a jump shooter. He had an incredible run in the playoffs of hitting jump shots, but it's really, like, historically not his game. It's a great asset for him to have, but he's at his best when he's around the rim. When you get muscle guys, he can get rebounds and finish those. He can post up, he can face up. That stuff, I think, is a better use of him. And the jump shooting, I think, comes with that and just opens up those type of plays for him. So, you know, the more he hits, the better. But I'm not too concerned with his jump shooting as long as he's playing in situations where he doesn't have to rely on it, which means more of him at the five.
Yep, 100%. So, all right, we did get another question from Nagarf1 on Twitch. Do you think that Schroeder gives up a little too much size defensively in the pick and roll in the playoffs? Steph drilling the pull-up three and transition in the fourth quarter over his contest comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, size is definitely an issue in his game. I think even offensively, you could kind of see that the way that Draymond Green was guarding any shooter drive was basically playing him for the pass because he knew he had enough of a length and size advantage that he could still contest the shot at the rim. And that led to a couple of turnovers, at least that I can remember, where Schroeder was trying to force the ball into AD right past Draymond, and he just took an arm out and got it. And defensively, yeah, same thing. I think he is a fine defender, a good defender at times. I love that he likes guarding 94 feet and really making people work hard, but some matchups just aren't good for him. And Steph is obviously not a good matchup for anybody that's trying to play defense, but in this situation, he was very much taking advantage of that matchup anytime he got Schroeder on him. And, you know, I think Dennis was playing with effort on that end of the floor, so I don't really have a problem with how he was playing. I think it's just a matter of sometimes it doesn't work, and that's up to the coaches to either get him off that matchup or bench him or do whatever they got to do, because at this point it's all about winning the games and not really about hurting feelings. So
yeah,
I think he understands that. I think he knows what his strengths and weaknesses are. He's not going to back down from a challenge, but at the same time, he cares about winning, I would assume. So that's really all I got to say about that.
Yeah, there's going to be some matchups that it's not an issue, like up against Chris Paul. Like, he's probably not going to have to worry about going up against a bigger guard. And maybe if he goes up against, like, the Clippers and he's dealing with Patrick Beverley or Rajon Rondo, you know, it might not be as big of a deal. Steph is just, you know, Steph is Steph. Like, it's... We talk about Caruso's defense, not knowing really the numbers, but it's just there's not a whole lot you can do with somebody like that. But there are going to be some matchups where teams go a little bit bigger and they, you know, play maybe some bigger guards or just a bunch of wings or whatever it is, that could be an issue. And I would expect Frank Vogel and the staff to adjust accordingly. So,
yeah.
And that's the thing with the playoffs, man. It always depends on the matchups. As we saw last year in the playoffs, Frank Vogel made several sweeping adjustments, to his rotations, depending on if they're playing a team that played small or a team that played big. Like, they kind of saw it all in last year's playoffs and adjusted accordingly. Portland series, they went up against two traditional big guys in Nurkic and Whiteside, and the Lakers played big. for a lot of that series. Then they played super small because the Rockets had PJ Tucker at center, and then they played Nikola Jokic, and you know, and then Miami has Olynyk that is out there standing on the 3-point line spacing the floor because Adebayo was out a couple games. You know, like, it's just, it's all about matchups, and you just got to adjust accordingly, and this coaching staff has shown that they can do it. Luckily, now I was worried that they wouldn't adjust in time for this game, as the game unfolded, just because we saw them last year in the playoffs take a kind of a feel out game in a couple of those series, and you can't really do that this time. It took a feel out half, and luckily they still had enough basketball left to come back and win. So, all right, that's gonna do it. Looks like my boy Richmond lied about. Lied on the internet about being in the stands for that LeBron shot. It's okay, wow. Rich. I love you, but I know for a fact you were not at that game tonight.
Did I go on the internet and lie?
Oh man, that never happens. And then Mrs. Sniper, thank you so much. You are the best for the 20 bits. Appreciate you so much. And then Block Max on YouTube. Yeah. The King is back in the playoffs. Yes, I did see CJ McCollum tweeting about LeBron's acting. I don't know. I'm not going to comment on that because LeBron clearly got poked in the eye. You could see in his post-game interview the swelling in his left eye. And so he definitely took a shot and was having some issues seeing. I was hoping it was just that. I was really worried that he might have, you know, had concussion-like symptoms.
Same.
And I was really terrified about that. But luckily, he has a couple days for his eye to hopefully just get back to normal, and hopefully he'll be okay.
See, I don't mind, like, CJ McCollum calling him an actor or whatever. That's fine. It's funny. But why not say after the play where he very much did flop and it was very clear, and then he was on the bench lying about getting elbowed in the chin while they showed a super slow-mo and he did not. I don't know why he wouldn't say it about that one and say it about the one where he got two hands red in the face and in the eye.
I just thought it was hilarious that the Warriors burned their challenge on that, which, I mean, rightfully so. I mean, it was not a charge. And then, like, one or two possessions later, the Lakers draw a charge, and it was like, okay, like, you can't challenge that now. So, yeah, that was great. But Block Max on YouTube, is there a super chat where you can donate? You can on Twitch. I'm working on getting that up on YouTube. So I appreciate that, the thought. I'll try and get that up shortly if you still want to do that for future shows. Right now, it's pretty exclusive to Twitch. We do have a Patreon link as well. Hani knows a little more about that. It's patreon.com/LakersOutsiders or...
Yeah. Or and if you can't remember that, if you go on our Twitter, we have in our bio a link tree, and it has a link to basically all of our socials, including our Patreon. So you can hit us up there as well.
Yep.
And thank you. That's very sweet.
Yeah. Very, very generous. Thank you so much. All right, guys. That's going to do it. Got caught up on the chat. Chat, you guys were obviously excited tonight. We're very excited. Now the playoffs really start, I guess. That certainly felt like a genuine playoff game to me, but... now it's official. The Lakers will play the Phoenix Suns as the 2-7 matchup. It's funny how history repeats itself, right? Lakers and Suns meet as a 2-7 matchup, and hopefully this one ends differently than the last time that they were 2-7. Hopefully it ends like 2010, and the Lakers punch their ticket to the next round. But
I don't think they have what's his face, Tyus Thomas this time around, so it should be okay. Although, I just now got a vision of Frank Kaminsky playing that role, and it very much upset me. So I think I need some sleep.
Yeah, we're gonna go to bed now. we're gonna sign off, guys. We will be back, like I said, on Saturday. We're gonna do a little preview of the Lakers and Suns playoff series. Gonna give our thoughts on that, and we'll have predictions, and we'll break down, you know, some key elements to. Not only game one, but the series in general, and we'll be talking about that. And of course, we'll be open to any of your guys' questions and comments on that as well. So be sure to tune in Saturday. We'll try and get a time finalized, and we'll set a schedule here on our socials to make sure you guys are prepared and ready for us to go live. But we'll be live on twitch.tv/LakersOutsiders, up on YouTube and facebook.com/LakersOutsiders. Those are the three platforms we'll be live on. And then, of course, after the fact, we'll have it up on all those podcast platforms that a lot of you guys like to listen to the next day when you're doing chores around the house, at work, driving, whatever it is. So we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much for your interactions, your excitement, your enthusiasm, and, of course, for watching and listening. But, yeah, it's late. Going to try and calm down a little bit now and try and get some sleep, and then we will see you guys on Saturday. So with Hani Amadian, I am Gary Kester with the rest of the Lakers Outsiders signing off.
Shout out to Marshawn. Don't call me Dylan Brooks.